Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Local musician Josh Rick sees Luthery as a beautiful crossroad of music and visual art. He began studying the craft in 2002 at Minnesota State College Southeast Technical in Red Wing, Minnesota, where he graduated from the guitar repair and construction course with honors. Rick then added violins to his repertoire and later completed his master's degree at the University of South Dakota. He also studied the history of musical instruments at the National Music Museum during the 2012-13 academic year, and his business, J. Rick Music, is located in Sioux Falls, where his primary focus is on the construction of new instruments. Another local musician, Chris Champion, is the man who demos Rick's guitars, and Champion is a versatile guitar player with an emphasis towards jazz and blues. In addition to performing live throughout the area, Champion teaches classes in his music studio located at J. Rick Music in Sioux Falls, and you'll be able to catch Chris in the Leo P. Flynn Gallery in our Sioux Falls studios live next Wednesday, 8 p.m. during Jazz Nightly with Carl Gerke. Stop by and be part of that audience. But right now, we welcome the builder and the performer to the Kirby Family Studios in Sioux Falls for Moment in Sound. Chris, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Oh, thank you.
Josh, thanks for being here as well.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
All right, let's. This is just such an exciting, because I'm looking, and radio viewers can't see the beauty of this guitar that Chris is holding in his hands. So, Josh, tell me a little bit about this guitar that you have made.
Well, this guitar was made with the help of an arts grant through the state of South Dakota, actually. The goal was to build an instrument primarily made with locally sourced materials. Guitar building materials are often sourced globally, and a lot of endangered species get used and things like that, or maybe not endangered, but restricted in some regard. So I really wanted to try to highlight the resources that we had available locally. So it was quite a project to track down some of them. So the back and sides of this guitar are made from curly black walnut. And I understand this tree was actually cut down on Main Street in Sioux Falls.
Wow.
It's just absolutely stunningly curly black walnut. And I have quite a bit of it now. And the whole tree is just totally curly the same way. It's gorgeous. The top was... the hardest thing to track down. This is made of beetle kill pine, which is readily available, but not in a size big enough to make guitars with, and also clear of knots, because as we all know, pine is super knotty. So to find a length of it that was clear and wide enough, and the right cut, because you need quarter sawn wood for a top wood. So there was a lot of boxes that had to get checked to find a piece of top wood that was going to work for that. And then I did inlaid a pasque flower and a honeybee, which are our state insect and flower. There's deer antler dots on the fingerboard. and that's, I grew up in a family that hunted, and there was just deer, you know, it was a feature of my life. The bridge and fingerboard are made of honey locust, which is the hardest wood I could find that grows natively around here. There's... petrified wood, a piece of rose quartz, and some teak that was salvaged from the USS South Dakota.
So, tell me about sourcing some of that. Are you going to the locations? Are people bringing things to you and you're saying, no, I can't use this? I can't, you know, like, what's your process like for just finding the materials?
Yeah, that was kind of the main drive of the project. I mean, most of the time I spent more time finding materials than I did probably building the guitar.
Yeah.
Although that was plenty time consuming as well. But I mean, it took a couple trips out to the hills. I did two trips to the Black Hills specifically to find a piece of pine that would work. And I ended up finding it at a sawmill here. So right. Two trips across the state that came up empty handed. And then a third trip out there to just get inspiration and collect some small pieces like the petrified wood and the rose quartz. And
Chris, tell me a little bit about just even holding this in your hand and starting to play it compared to a guitar that's sort of mass produced that you might just pick up, you know, when you don't know much about guitar and you just want to, you know, get an instrument to play.
This guitar is really, really incredible. So I just told Josh I wish all my guitars played like this one. So it's fantastic. It's a lot of times when we do the demo, sometimes you know, I have very particular tastes in how guitars are set up, and sometimes I have an easier time, sometimes I have a harder time, and this guitar is like fantastic. It's hard to describe how fun it is to play.
Let's hear it. What would you play for us? Tell us a little bit. And
I guess I'll just play an old tune that I really like, called Hard Times Come Around.
You're listening to Moment in Sound. That's Chris Champion playing Josh Rick's South Dakota guitar here for us inside the Kirby family studio. And you're going to be here with Jazz Nightly with Carl Gerke pretty soon here.
Wednesday.
Tell us a little bit about what you'll be playing. Give us a quick preview of that.
Can't tell you.
Yeah, all right.
I never planned that far in advance. I won't even tell Bob Gripp's going to play drums with me, and he won't even know until we start.
One of my favorite things about jazz right there, and Carl's show in general. I was like, well, we're going to do some jazz, and it's going to be wonderful, and then it is, yeah.
I do a pretty wide variety of stuff, so, and the definition of jazz now has gotten fairly wide, right. So, I can't even tell you. It'll change. Whatever hits at the moment, we'll play a lot,
yeah.
So.
How many instruments have you made, Josh?
Around 60,
yeah,
I think.
And do you normally make them for people? Do you make them to sell? Give me an idea of how this sort of fits into your business overall, the making of new instruments.
Yeah, the majority of them are built to order. It's fairly rare that I have anything around that's either not sold or I just built on spec. Right now I'm finishing a one guitar that is going to be, I just wanted to build something to hang in the shop.
Yeah.
And I mean, ultimately I hope it doesn't stay there very long, but I'd like to hang it on the wall for a minute. most everything I've built has been to order in one way or another. Sometimes it's going to a store or something like that. But
and this guitar here was built for?
This one was built just because I wanted to do it.
Yeah. Once you source those materials and you start putting things together, do you have a plan and then execute that plan, or does it take on a life of its own?
I have kind of a rough outline of what I want to do, but as far as like the you know, kind of more artistic appointments and details, I usually let those kind of happen more organically. You know, I might draw stuff out shortly before I do it, but I don't have a complete image of the instrument until I'm kind of working on it.
Can you back up? Like, you know, if you're painting, you can paint over. If you're working in fiber, you can rip it out and start again. When you're doing this, if it's going in a direction that you're not satisfied with, what's your approach? What do you have to do?
I mean, you just chuck it and start over.
You do. You can.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, it depends on what.
Except you only get one piece of.
Yeah. Depends on what point it is and like mm-hmm. kind of, you know, what it is that you've done. say if I didn't like the inlay or something on the fingerboard, you know, then yeah, you got to start over completely and new fingerboard. And
how do you know it's working?
I take a step back and look at it, see how I feel about it. I mean, as far as the aesthetics, you know, that's pretty much instant gratification. When it comes to how the guitar is going to sound, you don't know until you put strings on it. So, you know, I'm like 150 hours into a project before you really figure out exactly what you got.
So tell me about the first time you played
or
heard.
I remember how surprised you were with this guitar when we strung it up.
So, I mean, it really was kind of an exercise in just sourcing locally. I honestly didn't expect it to sound very good because pine is not a normal top wood for guitars. It's very resinous, and it's just not typically what's used. You usually use spruce of one sort or another. So when we finally got this strung up, I was shocked at how successful it ultimately was.
Yeah, and you were there for that?
I was very close.
Yeah, within a couple
I
days.
Did one that was in the at the museum. I had the little play button thing. So yeah. I was the guy that played the little track when you pressed the button.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and it was, I mean, as typical for me, if I have a deadline, I'm like up against it. So I think I got it strung up, and Chris probably came and played it the very next day. So.
Wow. Play again for us, please. What else will we hear?
Is it okay if I play a John Coltrane song?
It's a big chord you got right there.
For those who can't see, this is explain why that's challenging there at the end.
Well, that tune is Naima by John Coltrane, and I, as a guitar player, I tune it. I do it. It's actually for horn players. They play it a half step up, and I tune the guitar down to D because guitars sound great like this. It doesn't matter what style of music you're playing. You go. For Naima, I tune it down to the E string is actually a D. So when I play the last chord, my first finger is on the fifth fret, and my third finger is on the ninth fret on the next string, and then my pinky is on the tenth fret on the top string. So it's a challenge.
It looks acrobatic.
It's not for the faint of heart.
Josh, when you were, you know, you're at the National Music Museum and you're doing the studying that you've done and, you know, the training that you've had, and then you create something like this South Dakota guitar, you know, what are your hopes for this instrument in the future?
Well, I would like this instrument to be played and to be enjoyed. I mean, maybe not so much for this one. This, you know, it is kind of a showpiece. So if it, you know, and landed in a museum or something like that after I'm dead and gone, that'd be cool, you know. But I don't know what the ultimate life for this will be. But my dream for, I want to see one of my guitars come back to me with a hole through the top and just look like it's been, you know, played a million hours. And that's what I really want to see. Yeah. I want to see them get used.
Right. What's the, you know, Chris, what's the guitar that you pick up that's just always around your house that you grab when you just want to fiddle around? Do you have one of those? Do you have 10 of those?
Yeah. The family's fairly large, but no, well, I'm at any given, Josh will tell you there, at any given moment, it could be anything.
Yeah.
So I have the new guitar that's going to be the guitar for the rest of my life in that last 2 weeks. But no, I have my main guitar is my Jazz Archtop that I've had for 20 years. And it, you know, sometimes I put it away for a while. Sometimes I get it out, but pretty much it keeps coming back. And then Josh and I have talked about at some point that hopefully I'll get enough. He'll have enough time, and I'll have enough money, and we'll build something like this for me. Probably not quite. I'm not good with fancy guitars. I beat on them. So yeah. Something a little more working man class.
And you do that too.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
No. Yeah. I mean, his guitars are everyone. It seems to me like in the last 3 years where this style that you have has really come together.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I mean, I think a lot of people can build guitars, and I mean there are a lot of builders, but I think Josh's guitars, he definitely has a style. That from even just from an aesthetic point of just of looking at him, that he's developed his own thing, and just like if you play music, you got to have your own thing. If you're going to build guitars and make and you're going to separate yourself from the rest of the field, it helps if somebody can look at your guitar. Oh, that's a Josh Rick, right?
Right.
So I think he's really come up with a style that's aesthetically really interesting and very unique, and then combine that with that, you know, they sound great. So and they're built fantastic. Yeah. So
what all happens in the shop? What other kind of work do you take in?
I do a lot of repair work. That's kind of the day to day. I mean, I try to get some building done every day, but of course people don't want to wait for me to build an entire guitar before I fix theirs. So the repair work has to keep
me.
Moving.
Yeah. Yeah. He's been putting up with me for like 10 years now. Like I walk in the shop and go, Josh, can this be done by yesterday? He's like, all right, we'll make it happen.
Yeah, so lots of repair. I'm doing some like consignment sales and a few new instrument sales as well. And then I have Chris and Bobby Grip, who will be on Jazz Nightly as well, teaching lessons. And Courtney Temple and Dylan Lewis also teaching lessons there. Amplifier and electronics repair. I have a wonderful amplifier tech, Dave Dagg, doing work.
And you perform too. You make music.
Yeah, yeah.
As well. Yeah, you're a busy guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Haven't been playing as much lately. But.
Tell me what the worst sort of damage you see come in to instruments that can still be fixed.
Oh.
I just did a broken headstock just the other day.
Yeah, yeah. Lots of broken headstocks on old Gibsons. That's a common one. I had, there's a local bassist that came to me a couple years ago and had his bass had tipped over and the bridge punched through the top.
Oh.
So he had what's called a bass bar crack and a sound post crack, and you know, took the top off the bass and got that all put back together. I mean, you could fix about anything. The question is, what's your budget?
Right.
I had one come yesterday. It was an old guitar that the neck had broken off and the top was all busted up. And it's like, well, you know, we can do it, but it's going to cost.
Yeah.
So.
What was the original investment and the sentimental value and all that? There's a lot of decisions that go into that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So my daughter was in orchestra, and you know that sound of cracking instruments is not.
Oh, I had the misfortune of watching my personal upright bass tip over one time, and it's just gut wrenching. You know.
Right. Yeah. People don't get it until you're actually kind of in that world a little bit.
Yeah.
Let's hear more music, please, Chris.
Oh. I got to think of something to do. Should I do the...
The Sioux City Stomp, or
yeah.
Sioux City.
See if I can remember how it goes. The Sioux City Stomp. It originally had another name, and we decided it was not very politically correct, so, so we changed it. So.
Big Sioux
We're
Stomp.
Evolving.
Big Sioux Stomp
it's
is
the
what
big
it was.
Sioux
We're
Stomp.
Evolving with the times as we speak.
See if I remember how it goes.
Moment in Sound with Chris Champion. You can see Chris next Wednesday, 8 p.m. Central, Jazz Nightly with Carl Gerke. Tune in on the radio that night or stop by the SDPB Sioux Falls studios to be part of that audience. And Josh Rick has also been with us. You can stop by on 41st Street in Sioux Falls to J. Rick Music. Follow him on Facebook and lessons, repairs, and custom-made instruments there. Really great stuff. Thanks so much for being here. We appreciate your time.
Thank you.